if you've been in hospital lately, how was the experience for you? Did everything go according to plan in terms of any procedures you had and your treatment more generally? It's not something we like to think about, but the reality is that despite efforts to make sure everything goes smoothly with our care, systems and human errors are made in our hospitals, some of them with dire and even fatal consequences. These are the sorts of incidents that devastate families and make headline news. As you'd hope and expect, every hospital has policies and procedures in place to monitor and reduce these errors. But in a first for New South Wales, Orange Hospital is involved in a trial to take this sort of quality control to a whole new level. Called In Safe Hands, the program's coordinated by the Clinical Excellence Commission. Its Director of Health Systems Improvement, Dr. Charles Payne, is visiting Orange to meet with local staff. Good morning, Dr. Payne.
Good morning, Angela.
And we're also joined by Jason Stein, who's a physician from Emory University in the States, who's been providing advice to the local teams on the program, and also Orange-based specialist, Dr. Gabriel Shannon. Thank you both for coming in as well this morning.
Thanks.
Now, Dr. Payne, before we hear about the In Safe Hands program, can I ask, how often do adverse events occur in the public health system?
Studies around the world, so we're the same as everywhere really, in New South Wales and around the world, about 10% of patients who come in to our care are harmed to some degree by their care.
Some people might be shocked by that, 10%. What sort of incidents are we talking about?
Some of them are very minor, and they would range from serious adverse events like death, and that the proportion of those is much, much lower, of course, but the sorts of incidents are, you know, an infection perhaps from the drip that they had put in, things like that. So many of them are quite minor, maybe of consequence to the patient though.
Yeah. Is there a difference between public and private hospitals?
I wouldn't say so, no. There's no evidence of that.
Do they tend to be systems errors or human errors, or have we got a sense of what's going on?
Yeah, largely, I think this is a really important point, they're largely system type errors. Our staff are largely speaking very skilled, they're well trained. In New South Wales, our staff are as well trained as any in the world, and we have a very good system, so we shouldn't go away with the feeling that our system is terribly dangerous. I suppose it's inherent in the nature of the complexity of the system that we run. Well-trained staff, if they don't work together and work well as a team, can let patients down. And it's as devastating to them often as it is to the family and to the patient. So we're introducing an approach which we think, and we've actually seen it work, both in our system but around the world, which will build highly performing teams.
I guess the reality is that mistakes are made in workplaces every day. None of us are immune to this. But when you're in the business of providing healthcare, the stakes are a lot higher, I guess. So the emotions are high in this situation.
Yes. And there's no reason to see healthcare as being any more unreliable than comparable type of industries in terms of the number of errors that people make. However, if you do compare us, for example, to the aviation industry, they do have lower serious adverse events, thankfully, don't have many planes falling out of the sky, but they have a lot of systems in place, which comes back to the point you were making, that it's really systems that make healthcare safe.
So in terms of the In Safe Hands program, the Clinical Excellence Commission has put together, can you talk us through how it all works and the approach to this?
Yeah, well, the fundamental idea is that the units themselves, the patient care teams, they're the ones that deliver the care. So the whole reliability of the system depends on them. So our focus is on meeting the needs of the patient care teams, and the patient is very much part of that team, with the supports that they need, the standards, the tools and the resources that they need. And so In Safe Hands is about fundamentally understanding what those teams do and meeting them with those tools. And we mostly have those tools available to us. It's just about bringing them together in a coherent package, and that's what Orange is doing. And they've particularly introduced a program, a tool called Cyber, Structured Interdisciplinary Bedside Rounds, and I'm sure Jason will tell us about that. But that's been a central part of the toolkit, if you like, that Orange is introducing to improve the system's reliability.
Jason, do you want to talk us through that from your perspective?
Yeah, certainly. Just to play off of something that Charles said a minute ago, somebody, I think it's Peter Drucker, is credited with saying that the hospital is the most complex system ever devised. And out of that, we get some imperfections, plenty of imperfections, actually. And so what we've been doing now for the last 6 years at my institution, Emory University, is just trying to work out how to address that complexity and give it a bit more design and a bit more order. At the heart of what we're doing is putting care teams, interdisciplinary care teams, nurses, physicians, allied health professionals, discharge specialists together in the same time and space. And I suppose you might imagine that that's what we've always been doing in healthcare.
Well, can you? It might help us to get our heads around what this looks like if you give us an example of the sorts of things that happen differently under this model. What's a good situation from a patient's perspective that can help us understand this?
Yeah, let me say that most hospital care around the world today is still asynchronous. In other words, if you're a patient in a bed with your family member at the bedside, you'll see your nurse. You'll see your physician, you'll see your physiatrist and pharmacist, but very unlikely all at the same time. And they'll filter in and out. And that's what I mean by asynchronous. What we've decided to do differently is put all those professionals in the room together at the same time at the bedside. So what the patient now sees, what the family member now sees, is a coordinated care team that appears to be on the same page because they're on the same page.
I guess the challenge that springs to mind there is from a time management perspective, how you manage to get all these professionals in the same place at the same time to do this work with each and every patient.
Yep. You hit the nail on the head there. There are 100 or more reasons why this doesn't happen naturally or in the state of nature. But if we pause long enough to think about how and where we work, and the where is important. Nurses figured out a long time ago that it makes sense to come see all of their patients on a single ward or unit. You wouldn't meet a nurse who sees patients on multiple wards. But the opposite's kind of true for physicians. They'll see patients on multiple units, and so it's impossible, or it becomes impossibly complicated for a physician to predict where they'll be and when in order to be a team member for that nurse for that particular patient. So we've assigned physicians now to wards just like nurses. So they come to work and work within the figurative four walls of a particular ward and spend the better part of the morning there sharing time and space. And that gives us all kinds of freedoms to be able to coordinate care at the bedside, sharing the same time and space. That's the main logistical hurdle to overcome is that that geography.
Have the physicians come on board well with this?
It's about what you might expect. We have our early adopters, and we've got the folks at the other end of the spectrum. But by and large, we find that physicians who see this bedside model of care happening find very little to object in it and pretty quickly come along.
Dr. Gabrielle Shannon, you're a specialist based at Orange Hospital. When you hear about this model working well, what excites you most?
I think, Angela, two physicians have gone over to Emory to see the model working, and two of our nursing staff and the director of nursing have also been over there. And I guess what really struck us is to see a very patient-centered model of care in which in the cyber, in the medical round, in this multidisciplinary round, to see a patient in the bed who is the centre of attention, to which the information is given, the information about his or her illness and progress. All the team members then have, in their scripted round, have an opportunity to present the information they have on that patient and to say how it fits in with the other. The bedside nurse gives her feedback, and the patient and the patient family, who know exactly when the team will be around, as opposed to waiting all day to see a doctor who ends up being in theatre all day, for instance, and never gets there, knows exactly when the patient, when the round will occur, and have the opportunity to ask questions. So that really struck us as an amazingly sensible way of doing things.
And I can see how much more this would add than writing on. Of course, there are patient notes and the doctors pick them up and the nurses and everyone sort of checks those. How much more productive do you see this model being than the other systems in place at Orange and other hospitals?
I think that's an enthusiastic idea about the communication that we have, Angela, and I think while lots of things are written in the notes, they're not always read. The dietitian can write a page and we tend to quickly go to the impression, the last two lines. There's a habit of doctors not reading nursing notes, which are written in a different way, in a different manner than doctor's notes. So there's a lot written down, but the documentation often isn't all that good. And as a communication tool, I think it's very poor. When we are doing the rounds, for instance, when we had in the model that's still in most hospitals of a team-based, a medical team-based care. So the medical team is attached to a consultant rather than to a ward area. There are messages coming from different wards asking the resident to put a drip in or to rewrite a chart in a very random fashion, which makes for a very ineffective communication and implementation process. So things are delayed and patients' discharges are delayed as well. So this model, I think, when everyone, including the patient, hears the messages and is cross-checking the messages, it's an infinitely more powerful communication tool. And just doing that in the 7 or 8 weeks we've been doing it now, we pick up on that round things that we wouldn't really have picked up before, that the patient's not on appropriate preventative treatment for clot formation, which we would have very easily have skipped over and not picked up, or that the nurse tells us that one of the patient's essential medications for some reason hasn't been written up in the medication chart. And again, unless we were there at the bedside with the patient and the bedside nurse, that message might have taken hours to transmit to the person who would write it up.
I can see, I can imagine that there are people at home listening to this thinking, thank goodness this makes common sense. When's it rolling out across every hospital in New South Wales? Perhaps, Dr. Payne, what's your sense of how this experience in Orange will feed into the broader health system?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, just support, it is common sense, isn't it? It's just so obvious that this is the way we should be doing it. And in fact, we used to do it this way. We've lost something. So we're rediscovering something that we used to do. Our plan, the CEC's plan, is to roll this out across the state. We think that this kind of approach, the time is right for this. People are ready for it. Clinicians are ready for it. Managers are ready for it. We can roll it out fairly quickly, but we can't be too ambitious. We've got to learn from Orange. We have to learn from Wagga. We're on the way tomorrow to Wagga, the three of us. We have to learn from the places where it actually is being put in place so that we can do it well. We can replicate this reliably across the system. So it will take a few years, but what will happen, even without us promoting it, is the spread will happen without our promotion, because people are already... Gabriel is being pulled all over the state already to speak to people about the experience that's happening. And so to some degree, it'll be leaking out, if you like, across the system before we even get there to promote it and to support it.
Dollars are tight at the moment. Mm. Will this model cost more?
It's highly efficient. In Liverpool in England, where they adopted a similar model, they halved their length of stay. Global performance is improved by these sorts of approaches. So efficiency, effectiveness, patient safety, measures of all kinds are actually better. Jason can tell you about the halving, or 50%, sorry, reduction in mortality on the wards where they introduced this. So that's the kind of thing that's achievable. We mustn't expect too much at this stage, but we're already seeing some very hopeful signs that Gabriel has been talking about in terms of adverse events.
Jason, what does success look like for this project when it's working well?
Yeah, well, it depends on your perspective, but...
from the patient perspective, yeah. Perhaps.
So, again, from the patient's perspective, success looks like I'm receiving the type of care I expected to get and that I want my loved one to get. But you know what? That response is quite similar if I'm taking the perspective of the healthcare worker. In fact, I would say all of my colleagues, whether they're nurses or physicians, allied health professionals, went into healthcare because they wanted to be professionally excellent. And so what the model allows these workers, if you will, to be able to do now is to come to work, rediscover sort of the joy in work that they imagine. And what success looks like to those healthcare workers is, I like being in healthcare again.
So all those flow-ons about staff retention, about morale, some of the things that we hear that really take a toll when there's pressures with budget and with workforce shortages, this goes some way to alleviate that as well as reduce those adverse effects.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair thing to say, Angela.
Would you have any advice for what's important to make this work for Orange's experience and down the track?
Yeah, I think we're continuing to work out what it looks like and feels like to be able to provide a somewhat of a do-it-yourself experience for a hospital ward that puts its hand up and says, we want to pop into this model. And that's not necessarily an easy answer to generate. So it's taking, as we sit here today, a bit of real-time engineering to figure out how we can help sort of the next ward or unit with some efficiency pop into the model.
Gabrielle Shannon, what are the barriers, do you think, to this taking off in Orange?
I think, if I can just go back just one step, I think all the people that have been involved in it, I think now for the 6 or 7 weeks we've been doing it, and that includes the nursing staff certainly, the allied health staff as well, the junior medical officers, the registrars and the consultants who are doing it, you can't imagine going back to any other model, which I think is a really important thing. Nevertheless, we've got 5 physicians who have now volunteered for it. It does mean a change in their work practice, and if they're visiting medical officers, it means that for 1 week they have to effectively close their rooms. They can't do out-of-town visits. So it is we have to work out and engineer, as Jason said, the significant changes that it takes to implement this from the point of view of a consultant in a rural area or in a metropolitan area also. But once that change has been made, I think there are advantages for the consultant as well, because he or she for 1 week commits themselves to that hospital unit, and that frees up their time subsequently for their out-of-hospital work, which is obviously very important also. So I think in terms of sustainability, you need a core of consultants who are willing to commit themselves to this model of care. But even in Orange, in the ward in which we've instituted it, the other wards are already looking at this model and thinking, well, it really is so logical that we really should be doing that too. And I can see in Orange that we'll be other units, for instance, the rehabilitation unit, the cardiovascular unit, will be saying this is probably a really sensible model for us to be implementing. And I'm sure in Orange it will spread fairly rapidly throughout the hospital, and as it will in other hospitals. But I think the consultants are an important part of it. To accredit the terms for training for junior medical officers, we did have to get the new arrangement accredited by the Health Force Training Institute, and they did that. So there are those things that need to be done. But once they're done, then I think it's a really good model, and the patients really think it's terrific too.
How did Orange get this gig?
Well, that's a good question. I'm not sure, but we've got fairly close association with the Clinical Excellence Commission, I think. And Charles has worked well with us, and Jason came up to talk about patient safety. Maybe, Charles, you want to...
You know, I think, to be fair, if I can give some acknowledgement here, one of the key reasons why we're at Orange is because of Gabriel. And as you can hear from him, he's leading this, certainly from the clinician's point of view. There are other key people, if I may, Angela, just to acknowledge, the director of nursing, the general manager. There are people at all levels in this organisation who have come together, who've seen the opportunity, who feel we can and we must do better. And so Orange was a natural place for us to go, and I think we've chosen well.
Well, Thank you so much for all three of you to make time to come in this morning. I know it's been a busy schedule for you, but it's really important to get this sort of message out, because often we only hear about, you know, these things happen behind the scenes and it's not something that's out in the public domain. So I appreciate it.
Thank you, Angela.
Thank you, Angela.
Charles Payne, Gabrielle Shannon and Jason Stein with us this morning. We will certainly keep an eye on how this project progresses in the future.